So we are going to be in Psalm 40 this morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles, Psalm 40. This week was a special week for my wife and I. It was our 37th anniversary, and we're praising God for that. And also, this Sunday is kind of a milestone for me. It is my 25th year as a pastor. So I know I got started kind of late, because I had another path in mind, and God changed my direction. So I didn't start pastoring. Well, I won't tell you, because then you'll know how old I am. No, I was 31 when I started pastoring, which makes me 56. There it is. Psalm 40, verse 8 this morning. The Bible says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I've entitled the message, I Delight to Do Thy Will. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege to assemble here and open your word. And we ask that the Holy Ghost would take the powerful word of God this morning and apply it to every heart. We pray, Lord, that mighty things would happen through your word. Lord, you know the needs of every heart. Some need comforted, some need uplifted, some need convicted. But Lord, whatever the need might be, we pray you will meet that need. And Lord, each one of us will leave this morning changed by the power of your word. May our Savior Jesus Christ be magnified and lifted up in this service. And it's in his name that we pray these things. Amen. I delight to do thy will. What a great statement. Really, the question this morning is, do we delight to do his will? And God has given in this passage some ways to ensure that this happens in our hearts and lives. But I believe God asks the question, do we delight to do his will? You know, David, the reason why he delighted to do God's will is because God had changed him. If you go to the beginning of the chapter, very well-known passage. Many of you might know it by heart, but David said there, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. And look at the next verse. The Bible says, and he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock. Praise the Lord. That rock is Jesus Christ. And if you're born again this morning, God did this for you. He brought you up out of the pit. He brought you up out of the miry clay of sin and put your feet upon a rock. And has given you so much. He goes on to say, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. David had been a changed man because of God. And we are changed. The Bible says we're new creatures in Jesus Christ. It should be our desire. It should be our delight to want to do the will of God. And really the question is this morning, is it? You know, David went on to say in Psalm 119:47, I will delight myself in thy commandments. If you would look at Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talked about this a little bit. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. Talking about delighting in doing the will of God. Romans chapter 7 verse 22. Look what Paul said. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul here, as we know in this passage, is talking about his own personal struggle of the flesh versus the spirit. But he said, in the inward man, the spiritual man, the new man, I delight in the law of God. I delight in God's word. I delight to do God's word. You know, even when Jesus gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, one of the elements of that model prayer were, thy will be done. Is it our desire to see God's will done in our lives? Do we delight that His will be done? Even at the garden there before Jesus went to the cross, He prayed, didn't He? Not my will, but thine be done. And so, I'd like us to contemplate this as we walk through this passage together this morning. Do I delight to do the will of God? Because I personally believe that this is one of the keys to having the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We've been talking about this in our counseling class on Monday nights, that the goal of biblical counseling isn't happiness. It is righteousness. It is doing right. It is serving God. It is obeying God. And if we accomplish that goal, happiness will come. Now, the world strives for happiness. Whatever we can do to make us feel happy, but happiness isn't the goal of a Christian. The goal of a Christian is obedience, pleasing God. And God told us in His Word that if we will do the right thing, we will be happy. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So happiness comes from doing the right thing. And the right thing is to fulfill God's will in our lives. So what is God's will? Well, we know there's many statements about God's known will in our lives. And we could take a few moments and share scriptures with one another. But we know the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know the Bible tells us to forgive one another. We know that the Bible tells us that we're to love our neighbors ourselves, that we're to give, that we're to have faith in God, that we're to abide in Christ, that we're to study the Word of God, that we're to be faithful to church, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we're to give thanks and everything. You know, we could go on and on. That's God's will. He's laid it out for us. He's written it down for us. Our Creator loved us enough to share His will with us in His written Word. But do we delight to obey it? That's the question this morning. And so I think that God has given us some keys in this passage. Go back to Psalm 40. The first one always seems to go to the Word of God. Notice he says in the next passage, "Thy law is within my heart." If a Christian is not willing to make the Word of God a vital part of his life, he will not delight to do the will of God. Because it is the Word of God that grows us. It is the Word of God that convicts us. It's the Word of God that guides us. And if we're not willing to put forth the effort to make it part of our lives, then the desire to please God and do His will isn't going to be there. And so David said, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Is the law of God in your heart? "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Deuteronomy 6:6. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that it might not sin against God." Psalm 119:11. Psalm 37:31. "The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The Bible makes it very clear that he wants us to hide the word of God in our hearts. You know what? That's work. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the harder it is to memorize. And some of you 20-year-olds are saying, "Yep, I know what that means." Now, I mean when we get older, it gets harder to memorize. Those of us that are over 40, just barely. It's tough. It's work. But is the Christian life work? Yep. We're called servants. We're called soldiers. We're here to serve Christ. We're here to work for Christ. And you know, part of that work is putting forth the effort to make the Bible part of us. And there's just no substitute for it. You know, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. That's Psalm 1. Joshua 1:8, same thing. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And so the first and I believe most important key to delighting to do the will of God is making the Word of God important to you. Now, we all know that the evidence of how important something is to us is how we treat it. That's true with one another. Husbands and wives, children and parents, other relationships. If somebody's truly important to us, that's obvious by how we treat them and how we want to spend time with them. It's true with the Word of God. You know that this book is Jesus in written form? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us when He returns there in Revelation chapter 19, His name is called the Word of God. So if we truly love Jesus, then we love Jesus' Word, because He is the Word. But are we displaying that love by how we treat the Word? In other words, do we truly, as David said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day," in Psalm 119:97. Do we treat it like we love it? Because we spend time in it every morning, because we're meditating in it throughout the day, because we're memorizing it. If it's your desire to delight to do the will of God, it starts with the Word of God, making it a vital part of your life. But notice what he says in verse 9 of our passage. "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest." Now, if we had to choose one very vital reason why God left us here after we got saved, we all understand it's because we're here to spread the truth. We're here to glorify God, but somebody told us, and He wants us to tell somebody. He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 16:15. That's His command. That's His mission for us. But as you notice, it says, "I preached righteousness." Well, that's the gospel. Because man is prideful, man is sinful, man is self-centered, man wants to try to get to heaven his own way by his own righteousness. Now let's face it, you talk to 10 people on the street, 9 of them are probably going to tell you, "Yeah, I'm probably going to go to heaven because I..." And they give you stuff that they do or did. "I got baptized, I go to church, I try to keep the 10 commandments, I'm good to my neighbor," and the list goes on and on. Those things don't get us to heaven. The Bible says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64. So what does it mean? Well, look at Romans chapter 10. God wants us to preach righteousness. God wants us to preach and explain to people that our God is holy and that only holiness is going to get us into heaven. Well, folks, that's impossible because we're sinners. That takes some supernatural help. It's called salvation. Because when we get saved, what does God do? The Bible says He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Talking about Jesus. Look at Romans 10:3. The Bible says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the" what? "Righteousness of God." When we get saved, we submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. We acknowledge that only He is righteous and that only His way is the way to be with Him, which is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You can only get to heaven by submitting yourself unto God's righteousness, acknowledging that we don't have any, and that only He has righteousness, and that we need His righteousness applied to our account through the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary when He died and rose again for us. So to preach righteousness is to preach the gospel. You say, well, wouldn't that come after we delight to do His will? No. I believe that if we will obey our primary mission as Christians, do you know what it's going to do? It's going to motivate us to delight to do His will even more. Just this simple step of obedience, of preaching about God. And you know, if you would look at Psalm 126, I know people use this passage all the time to encourage people to witness, and it's great that we should, but I want you to see something in this passage. That the obedience always comes first. Verse 5, Psalm 126, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Look at verse 6. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I want you to see this morning that the going comes before the weeping. Say, what does that matter? Because most Christians want it to be the other way around. God, as soon as You give me a burden, as soon as You give me the tears for the lost, then I will go. God says, you go and I'll give you the tears. You obey me, you witness to people, and I'll give you the burden for their souls. But as long as you sit on the couch and wait for the burden, it's not going to come. Because it always starts with obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What was the last commandment he gave? To go. So if we will obey this great commandment to go and tell and preach the righteousness of God, do you know what that's going to do? It's going to put in us more of a desire to do His will. We will delight to do His will, which He's written down for us. Because we are obeying in this simple primary step of telling others, like someone told us, it's going to do a work in our hearts, and we will have that desire to fulfill the will of God. He goes on to say in verse 10, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I see two things in this passage. First of all, again, the opposite of preaching righteousness is hiding it. But there's also an element here of this teaching of lifestyle evangelism. Look in Psalm 71 and I'll explain what I mean. The root of lifestyle evangelism doesn't work because the root of it is pride. Here's what lifestyle evangelism says. If you live a good life because you love God, people are going to look at your amazing good life and they're going to fall down on their knees and say, what must I do to be saved? Because you are so good. And I want to be like you. That's the root of lifestyle evangelism. That's what people put forth as how people are going to get saved, is because they're just going to be so amazed at how wonderful we are. But are we wonderful? I thought we were sinners. Notice Psalm 71:16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Look at that word, only. Lifestyle evangelism is putting forth our own righteousness. I want you to get saved because you're watching how wonderful of a person I am. No. I'm going to make mention of His righteousness, which means I'm going to open my mouth and people are going to know why I live the way that I do, because I'm going to tell them. You see? But if all we're going to do is just, well, I'm just going to live a good life, I don't have to say anything about Jesus, I'm just going to keep living a good life, and one day somebody's going to come up to me and say, what must I do to be saved? Well, you might be waiting a long time. It's probably not going to happen. People don't want to get saved because of your life. People usually want to get saved because they find out they're sinners on their way to hell, and that God loved them so much He died on the cross for their sins and rose again and offers them eternal life through what Jesus did. That's why they want to get saved, not because of you and your life. We need to open our mouths and say something. And that's what David said. I'm not going to hide his righteousness. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to tell people about it. I delight to do thy will, he says. Thy law is within my heart. I've preached righteousness. And then notice at the end of verse 10. And I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Not only does God want us to be opening our mouths to the lost so that they can be saved from hell, but God has a lot to say about us opening our mouths to one another. Does He not? How many times in the New Testament are we told to exhort and admonish one another? You can't do that without speaking. You can't just do it with eyes or with head signals or whatever. You got to talk if you're going to exhort people. And you're supposed to be exhorting them with God's Word. So let's look at a couple of verses on this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is a good one. I I believe that the more we will learn to be in the habit of exhorting and admonishing our brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know what that's going to do? That's going to encourage us to want to do the will of God. Notice Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, obviously, God's encouraging us here that when we assemble, we need to be there. We need to be faithful, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But another reason why we assemble is to exhort one another, to lift up and encourage each other. God knows that He didn't design us to live on an island by ourselves. We are social creatures. He made us that way. And when we assemble as a body, what does God want us to do but exhort one another? David said, I'm going to declare His faithfulness. I'm going to declare His salvation. I'm going to declare His loving kindness. I'm going to declare His truth. I'm going to lift Him up to others in the great congregation. I'm going to tell others what a great God we serve. And you know what that does? It blesses God's people when we do it. When we learn to lift Him up to others. Look at Hebrews 13 while you're in Hebrews. There's another verse about this. Hebrews 13, verse 15. The Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God when we feel like it. That's not in the King James, is it? Continually. You mean we're to be praising God all the time? Yep. You mean even when a trial comes? That's what it says. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants us to be giving the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We need to be in the habit of praising the Lord. And do you know when we praise God in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it blesses them too? Now, we should be praising God all the time, even when we're by ourselves. David says, 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. We should be praising God no matter what, all the time. We should be finding reasons to praise God because there's plenty of them out there. But also, we need to be praising God to each other. Don't we serve a great God? We need to be telling each other that. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to be a blessing to them too. Not just a blessing to the Lord that we're praising Him. And that's what David said. I've declared His faithfulness and His loving kindness and His truth in the great congregation. I've told others what a great God we have. David was even allowed of God to write it down and put it in the Word of God for us. Imagine that. And now literally millions of people have been blessed by the writings of David. Most of us are blessed every day by the writings of David. So his declaration carried on. But we can be constantly declaring the goodness of God to one another. And you know, the more that we do it, go to Psalm 145 if you would. The more that we do it, you know what it's going to do? It's going to motivate us to delight to do His will. We've all met backslidden Christians. Maybe we've been backslidden Christians. Do backslidden Christians praise God? Nope. Do backslidden Christians witness? Nope. Are backslidden Christians in the Word every day? Probably not. This is what happens. They don't delight to do the will of God, because they stopped doing these things that will motivate us to delight to do the will of God, which is be in the Word every day. Make it part of your life. Praise God every day. Tell others what a great God we serve. Tell others, the lost, that they need Jesus too, what He's done for you. But notice Psalm 145, 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and that all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. My mouth shall speak, it says, the praise of the Lord. Does your mouth speak the praise of the Lord? It should. And I believe the more that we will speak the praise of the Lord, the more that we'll tell others about our great Savior, the more that we make the Word of God part of our lives, the more that we will delight to do the will of God. It falls on us, as it usually does. God's given us a free will. And praise God, He saved us. He's given us eternal life. We're on our way to heaven. We have a mansion waiting for us. All these things are true and cannot be changed by the devil. But between now and when He calls us home through the rapture or death, He wants us to be delighting to do His will. Not just doing it because, oh, I need to do God's will. We delight in it. There's a passage in Luke 17. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we need more faith. How about that for a question? They asked Jesus, how do we get more faith? And then Jesus told them a parable. A parable about a guy that was serving his master. And he did everything he was supposed to do. And Jesus said in the parable that he says, well, now when the master comes in at the end of the day and the servant's been out laboring in the field and doing everything, taking care of the master, does the master turn around and serve the servant? No. Does the master even thank the servant that particular day? Typically not. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's the servant. And he finishes the parable by saying, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Our duty. See, we want God to give us a big pat on the back for doing our duty. Why? That's what we're supposed to do. He's done everything for us. He's saved us. He even indwells us. He's given us His Word. He's given us heaven. He says, please just serve me. And we should delight to do it. And I think that David here has given us some great steps to make that a reality. I delight to do thy will.